الحمد لله والصلاة والسلام على رسول الله وعلى آله وصحبه ومن والاه. أما بعد, all praises due to Allah, and may Allah send His blessings, and may Allah exalt the mention and grant peace to the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam and those who are His friends and followers in faith. We ask Allah Azza wa Jal to make us among them. We continue, brothers in Islam, with our discussion on the fact that the believers will see Allah Azza wa Jal in the life to come. And we had dealt with in the last dars with the refutation against the group of individuals who claim that Allah cannot be seen in the life to come, and they quoted as evidence, as we mentioned, some textual evidences and some intellectual evidences. And the Shaykh rahimahullah ta'ala had already done the job of refuting them concerning the textual evidences, and we proved beyond a shadow of doubt that the very evidences they're trying to use to prove that Allah cannot be seen are actually evidences against them that will be used to prove that Allah can be seen. Subhanallah. And we said that this is the way of the Quran. Anytime some deviant individual wants to find an evidence in the Quran to support some falsehood, you will find in that same evidence a refutation against it. It's the same evidence we will use to say that you have deviated from the path. And we actually stopped at the idea or the refutation of the intellectual evidences. وَأَمَّا أَدِلَّةُ نُفَاتِ الرُّؤْيَةِ الْعَقْلِيَةِ As for the intellectual evidences, if we want to call them intellectual, فَقَالُوا لَوْ كَانَ اللَّهَ يُرَى كَانَ الْوَلَدُ كَانَ الْوَلَدُ أيوة لَوْ كَانَ اللَّهُ يُرَى لَزِمَ أَنْ يَكُونَ جِسْمًا وَالْجِسْمُ مُمْتَنِعٌ عَلَى اللَّهِ تَعَالَى لِأَنَّهُ يَسْتَلْزِمُ التَّشْبِيهِ وَالتَّمْثِيلِ They said, if Allah is to be seen, that necessitates that Allah must be a body. Allah Himself must have a body. And having a body is something that is forbidden for Allah. Something that cannot be for Allah, according to them. Because if we say that Allah has a body, this necessitates resemblance and likening Allah to His creation in their mind. Because their minds are, we have a body, the other animals have a body. When you say Allah has a body, that means you're making Allah like us. And to them, that can never be the case. So then we deny Allah being seen, because if Allah is seen, then He must have a body. See this, if He has a body, He must be like us. Since He's like that, He's not like us, no one will see Allah. Because then there's no Allah, there's no body. This is their rationale. This is what they have come up with in terms of thinking, disregarding the verses which refute them. The Shaykh says, وَرَدُّ عَلَيْهِمْ They're refuting them, replying to them, أَنَّهُ إِن كَانَ يَلْزَمْ مِن رُؤْيَةِ اللَّهِ تَعَالَى أَن يَكُونَ جِسْمًا فَلْيَكُنْ ذَلِكَ If seeing Allah necessitates that there must be a body, let it be. Let it be. لَكِنَّنَا نَعْلَمْ عِلْمَ الْيَقِينَ أَنَّهُ لَا يُمَثِلُ أَجْسَامَ الْمَخْلُوقِينَ However, we have certainty, we have knowledge of certainty that it is unlike the bodies of the creation. لأن الله تعالى يقول, because Allah says in the Quran, لَيْسَ كَمِثْلِهِ شَيْءٍ وَهُوَ السَّمِيعُ الْبَصِيرُ There's nothing like unto Him. And He is the all-hearing, all-seeing. You see how beautiful that is? It's as simple as that. Same thing with the face, same thing with the hands. The fact that we affirm them to Allah does not mean in any way, shape or form that whatever you imagine of a human face or a human hand is applicable to Allah. Because there's nothing like Allah. But we believe in the attribute which He mentioned to Himself. على أن القول بالجسم نفياً أو إثباتاً مما أحدثه المتكلمون. However, and this is a very sensitive subject matter, the idea of saying that Allah has a body, pay attention to what the Shaykh said. He said, if that necessitates that, if seeing Allah necessitates having a body, then let it be. However, the Shaykh said, further, the statement that Allah has a body, whether in the affirmative or the negation, is something which was invented by the people of philosophy, the philosophers. وليس في الكتاب والسنة إثباته ونفيه. In the Quran and Sunnah, we have nothing which affirms it and nothing which denies it. And so what do we say? We really don't get into that. I mean, we don't want to say that Allah has a body, because there's nothing in the Quran and the Sunnah. You see how clear we are, how particular, how precise we are in following the Quran and the Sunnah. Since there's no evidence that says that Allah has a body, then we don't say, we don't affirm the jism, because Allah didn't affirm it to Himself. And we don't negate it, because it wasn't negated. But if your idea is, well, for seeing there must be a body, and this is the only way it can be done, then let it be. The idea is we must see Allah, because Allah said that this is going to happen on the Day of Judgment. وَقَدْ أَجَابَ النُّفَاتِ عَنْ أَدِلَّةِ أَهْلِ الْإِثْبَاتِ أَوْجِبَ بَارِدًا. The people of denial had replied to the evidences of the people who affirm with very cold answers. فَحَرَّفُوهَا تَحْرِيفًا لَا يَخْفَى عَلَى أَحَدٍ. And they altered and twisted the meaning in a way that is not unnoticed by anyone. It doesn't go unnoticed by anyone. وَلَيْسَ هَذَا مَوْضُوعُ أَوْ مَوْضِعُ ذِكْرِهَا وَهِيَ مَذْكُورَةٌ فِي الْكُتُبِ الْمُطَوَّلَةِ. And this is not the place to elaborate on this issue. This issue has been elaborated upon in the extensive, long expositions and explanations of these issues. The bottom line is that we say, we don't affirm that quality, nor do we negate it. And we say to them, it does not mean the idea that seeing Allah, if to you necessitates that there must be a physical body, then let it be. However, we don't say part of our belief system, Allah has a body. We only use it when, as a refutation against them, because of their philosophy. But it's not something that we go about saying, unlike the face and the hands and the shin, because these we have evidences that are speaking of that. And so we have to speak about that. We have to affirm, we have to publicize it. We have to tell the whole Muslim world, your Lord has a face. Your Lord rose above His throne. Your Lord has hands. There's nothing like Allah. We have to affirm that. But we don't go, Allah has a body. Why? Because we don't have anything in the Quran and the Sunnah. But when we deal with the Asha'ira, the Mu'tazilites and the Ash'arites, and those people who have twisted away the teachings, we say, if in response to you, if this is what it necessitates, then let it be. If this is the only way that it can be done. But it's not something that we necessarily discuss. Is that clear? I hope so. مَا نَسْتَفِيدُهُ مِنَ النَّحْيَةِ الْمَسْلَكِيَّةِ مِنْ هَذِهِ الْآيَاتِ. What are the practical benefits attainable, by these verses? أَمَّا فِي مَسْأَلَةِ الرُّؤْيَا فَمَا أَعْظَمْ أَثَرَهَا عَلَى الْإِتِّجَاهِ الْمَسْلَكِيِّ. As for the issue of ru'ya, vision, seeing Allah, how great is the effect it has on a practical note. لِأَنَّ الْإِنسَانَ إِذَا وَجَدَ أَنَّ غَايَةَ مَا يَصِلُ إِلَيْهِ مِنَ الثَّوَابِ هُوَ النَّظَرُ إِلَى وَجْهِ اللَّهِ كَانَتِ الدُّنْيَا كُلَّهَا رَخِيصَةً عِنْدَهِ. Because if the human being, if he finds that the epitome of what he reaches, the highest point he reaches of reward, is looking at the face of Allah Azza wa Jal, this whole dunya will become insignificant. Rakhisa, cheap. It will be cheap for him in his eyes. This is not nothing. Because he has such a high goal, such a lofty goal and expectation to look at Allah. And this dunya is the place of struggle to reach a point. This makes the dunya worthless because of this ultimate achievement which he is looking forward to and striving longing to. وَكُلُّ شَيْءٍ يَرْخِصُ أَوْ يَرْخَصُ عِنْدَهُ فِي جَانِبِ الْوُصُورِ إِلَى رُؤْيَةِ اللَّهِ عَزَّ وَجَلَّ. And everything will become cheap in his sight. And everything will become unimportant in comparison, or when we look at it in terms of what, in looking at Allah, or making it to looking at Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. لِأَنَّهَا غَايَةُ كُلُّ الطَّالِبِ وَمُنْتَهَى الْمَطَالِبِ. Because it is the destination, it is the goal of every seeker, and it is the epitome of requirements. مَطَالِبِ, needs. It is what everyone seeking wants, and it is what everyone seeks to get. فَإِذَا عَمِلْتَ عَلِمْتَ أَنَّكَ سَوْفَ تَرَى رَبَّكَ عَيَانًا بِالْبَصَرِ فَوَاللَّهِ لَا تُسَاوِي الدُّنْيَا عِنْدَكَ شَيْئًا. Allah المستعان على حالنا. He says, if you truly know that you will see your Lord with your own eye, then this dunya should be equal to nothing in your eyes. This dunya should be equal to absolutely nothing. فَكُلُّ الدُّنْيَا لَيْسَتْ بِشَيْءٍ. The whole world, the whole worldly life is nothing. لأن النظر إلى وجه الله هو الثمرة التي يتسابق فيها المتسابقون ويسعى إليها الساعون وهي غاية المرام من كل شيء. Because looking at the face of Allah is the fruit which all those who compete, sibaq is actually racing, right? And all those who race against each other strive for. ويسعى إليها الساعون, سعي is like, is not just عمل, it's like doing. السلام عليكم. Come in. It's like doing something accompanied with effort. Sa'i, you know, you go do sa'i between Safa and Marwa, right? Why? Because it is not the average walking. There's like, there's space, there's some sort of speed associated with that. There's some sort of effort that you make. And even in, if you find in the Quran, if you go through the Quran, you will find that Allah Azza wa Jal uses that term often, that verb. وَمَنْ أَرَادَ الْآخِرَةَ وَسَعَى لَهَا سَعْيَهَا. And whosoever desires the life to come, and he strives with the necessary effort, do. Right? This one. And in Surah Al-Nazi'at, how does it say? فَأَمَّا مَنْ خَافَ مَقَامَ رَبِّهِ وَنَهَى النَّفْسَ عَنِ الْهَوَى فَإِنَّ اللَّهَ. Which ayah? Which ayah in the end of the Quran there comes the word sa'i also? إِنَّ سَعِيَكُمْ لَشَتَّى. No, but before that. عَلَى كُلِّ حَال. Sa'i comes with effort. Effort associated with the work that you are doing. And so this is something that everyone who strives really strives for. طيب. فَإِذَا عَلِمْتَ هَذَا فَهَلْ تَسْعَى إِلَى الْوُصُولِ إِلَى ذَلِكَ أَمْ لَا. The Shaykh said, if you know that, if you know that the ultimate goal and destination is looking at Allah, shall you make an effort for that or no? What is the you know, the natural answer? Yes. For sure I should. Come on now. Look, let's just give you a worldly example. Today, in this day and time, who are people fascinated with? Celebrities. Right? And celebrities are of two kinds. They are the wicked celebrities and the righteous celebrities. What are they called? They're celebrities because they're famous. For example, imagine you were to meet a big sheikh, you know, a big scholar of Islam, someone who's, you know, how would you feel? You know, and somebody told you, brother, you know, to see the Shaykh, you know, we have to go to Medina. What do you say? No problem. No problem. Usually, you're not a big fan of going long distances, right? But because you're going to see the Shaykh, you know, you have no problem. You're willing to go across country and travel, you know, abroad. So you can just see. And how would you feel before you meet the Shaykh? You know, before he comes in, your heart is trembling and it's just this odd feeling. I mean, this is something known if you've ever been around people of knowledge. Of course, you don't feel this, we don't feel like this around each other because you're all regular people, alhamdulillah. But when you're around an alim, that's not a joke, man. I've had this feeling. There's a dance that we attend here every Wednesday. One of the big mashaykh of fiqh, you know, and he just so happened to pray next to me this last Wednesday. You know, and so it's not an ordinary, it's not like the regular person next to me. You know, at the end of the day, this is a sheikh. So speaking to him, shaking his hand, and the whole thing, there's a special feeling accompanied with that. If you were to meet the king of this country, of the kingdom, how would you feel? You will have some feeling because of the status that the person has. Your feeling will not be the average feeling. And, you know, then we can assume the same about other things. So if this is concerning a human being who's made out of a sperm, so the, and it's like no one, right? He goes to the bathroom at the end of the day. It's like you guys eat, you know, you eat, he eats, you live the same life. You know, he may just be a little more special than you are. And there's this feeling. Then what about, and Allah to Allah belongs, the highest example, when you're going to see Allah, the creator, sustainer of everything that you have. You can imagine the feeling. So that feeling, that moment of excitement, is what will kind of make a person strive in this dunya now. You know, strive in this worldly life, so that one may attain that ultimate bounty and sensational feeling in the life to come. We ask Allah to make us among them. والجواب نعم أسعى إلى الوصول إلى ذلك بدون تردد. The rhetorical answer is yes, I will strive to get there without any hesitation. وإنكار الرؤية في الحقيقة حرمان عظيم. The Shaykh said, and denying the vision, denying seeing Allah in the life to come, is in fact great deprivation. It is great deprivation. What is the deprivation comes from? Deprive. You know, to deprive someone of something is not to give them access to it. So when they deny that the people will see Allah on the day of judgment, in the life to come, they're actually depriving them of something that is magnificent. You know, these Ash'ariyah. لكن الإيمان بها يسوق الإنسان سوقا أو سوقا عظيما سوقا عظيما إلى الوصول إلى هذه الغاية. But belief in that will drag the person, will drive him in a great manner to make it to this particular destination. فهو يسير ولله الحمد. It is easy, and all praise is due to Allah. فالدين كله يسر. The religion, the whole religion of Islam, is easy. Right or wrong? But who is it easy for? I mean, come on, because look, let's be honest. Today, there's some sort of issue that we have. Many people have the perception that Islam is a difficult religion, and that the you know, adhering to the teachings is complicated, and kind of keeping up with the teachings is difficult, right? And this is a common feeling among many. However, this feeling is actually present among particular individuals with particular issues. But who does not have this feeling? Who truly believes that the religion is ease? من أعطى واتقى وصدق بالحسنى فسنيسره لليسرى. Now that and Nu'man Khan, he commented in a, you know, he quoted the statements of this Mufassirin on this ayah. Unbelievable, the sequence of the words. The bottom line, the conclusion is that in order for us to reach a point where we truly feel that Islam is an easy religion, there's no heavy feeling associated with carrying out the acts of worship, we don't feel any burden while doing it, is when we give unconditionally, when we have taqwa afterwards by protecting ourselves from Allah's wrath, and we believe in all that which is good. Then فَسَنَيَسِّرُهُ لِيُسْرَ. Then Allah will guide this person, will facilitate this person the easiest things. Right? So then a true believer finds ease in Islam. You don't find, wallahi, like for example, a true Muslim, a true believer, doesn't say to himself, man, why can't I listen to music, man? You know, it's fun. Man, why can't I imitate the disbelievers? I mean, come on, it's all right. How come I'm not allowed to do this? Why do I have to do this? He doesn't have the, he's happy. He's like, yeah, it's good. Alhamdulillah. I can't feel otherwise. I you know, that's what Allah wants. That's what my fitrah says. I have no issue with that. You see? So it is really conditional to one's iman. The higher the iman and submission to Allah, the more one will truly believe that Islam is an ultimately facilitated religion. And Allah told us this in the Quran, وَمَا جَعَلَ عَلَيْكُمْ فِي الدِّينِ مِنْ حَرَجٍ. He made no difficulty upon you in the religion. So you find anytime there's difficulty in Islam, there comes ease. Anytime the situation gets complicated, you find simplicity. There's never a time where you're unable to do something Islamically that is obligatory upon you, except that you find some ease and concession. However, we need to develop our iman. We need to develop our submission to reach a point where we don't have any conflict with the teachings of Islam. We truly believe it's an easy religion. Right? So if we don't feel that way, we need to check our iman. We don't accuse Allah of giving us something difficult. Allah made the things easy, alhamdulillah. And He said, يُرِيدُ اللَّهُ بِكُمُ الْيُسْرَ وَلَا يُرِيدُ بِكُمُ الْعُسْرَ. Allah wants ease for you. He doesn't want things to be difficult. SubhanAllah. How else, you know, what else do we want? But Allah musta'an.
And then listen, what did Allah say to the Prophet ﷺ in Surah Al-A'la? وَنُيَسِّرُكَ لِلْيُسْرَى. And what did he say to the average believer? فَسَنُيَسِّرُهُ لِلْيُسْرَى. There's the additional scene. Now you want to know the greatness of the Quran? This is all from Nu'man. So don't think I'm that, you know, I'm bringing things from my own. You know the beauty of this addition of the scene? Why? That scene indicates that there must be some effort first. There must be some, this will come later, at a later time. Because in the case of the believer, you know, he's not really ready yet. He has to do all of the above, the previously mentioned things. Then Allah, فَسَنَ يُسِّرُهُ لِلْيُسْرَى. Then afterwards, he will be facilitated for ease. But in the case of the Prophet ﷺ, he's already programmed. His heart is already inclined towards all that which is pleasing to Allah. So that scene was not necessary. It was automatic facilitation to ease. So with the believer, the scene indicates an additional, in the wording, indicates additional steps. The emitting of the scene, indicates further facilitation. That even the scene was taken out. Isn't that amazing? I mean, you would not believe the Quran. You would not believe how particular and precise are the choices of, not even words, letters. Or sometimes the sequence of words. Like, go back to the ulama, and why do you say a'ta wa taqa, and not at-taqa wa a'ta? Not he feared Allah first, then he gave. Why was the giving first, then the taqwa? I mean, they deduce like 20 different benefits and wisdoms behind just Allah putting this word before this, the other one. Unbelievable. But if you don't read this or you don't hear it, you will never know how great the Quran is. Subhanallah. But that's what it is. طيب أبو مصعب. فهو يسير للحمد فالدين كله يسر. The religion is all easy. It's all easy. حتى إذا وجد الحرج وجد الحرج تيسر الدين. Even if difficulty does come at times, suddenly facilitation is available. فأصله ميسر. So the fundamental principle is that the religion is facilitated. وإذا وجد الحرج تيسر ثانية. So first, the religion is originally easy. Furthermore, if there's whatever reason that's making it a little difficult, then ease will come again. Subhanallah العظيم. وإذا لم يمكن القيام به أبدا سقط. And if that which you are obliged to do, you're unable to do, period, you're no longer obliged to do it. You see, for example, standing in the salah is an obligation. If you're unable to stand, you're no longer expected to stand. Even though it's an obligation, it's removed altogether. Giving zakah is obligatory. You don't have money, you don't have to give zakah. Doing hajj is obligatory. You're unable to go, you don't have to do hajj. Anytime there's difficulty, you find that if you're unable to do something, Allah will not even hold you accountable to do it. When are you expected to do it? When you have the ability to do it, and it's an obligation. فلا واجب مع العجز ولا حرام مع الضرورة. So there's no obligation with inability. Look at this principle. There is no obligation with inability, and there's no prohibition with necessity. Remember these 8 words maybe. There's no obligation with inability, and if you're unable to do something, you're no longer obliged to do it. The obligation is emitted. And there's no prohibition, there's no haram with necessity. Yani, as we mentioned many times, or the classical example, you're out in the desert, you ran out of food and drink, all you found was a cup of wine, right? Now, necessity requires of you to drink it, it's no longer haram. Insurance, you are forced to buy insurance. You can't drive a car without insurance. You can't register the car in your name without insurance. Insurance is haram, but you're obliged to do it. It's no longer haram for you. Why? You are forced. So we said, of course, you don't benefit from it. You don't benefit from it. You only get equal to the amount you paid. You paid 800 riyals for the policy. Something goes wrong, you get your 800 riyals back. Boom. Nothing more. Not even a riyal more. Alright? But buying it initially, which is not allowed, becomes allowed in your case because there is some higher authority pressuring you to do something. You see what I'm saying? But of course some people get it twisted here, and they start finding various reasons why, well, this is necessary for me, and they wind up engaging in haram. So we have to be careful, because Allah knows the seen and the unseen. So Allah knows when we are really forced to do something and when we're able to avoid it, and we just should be trying to benefit from it. طيب. قال المؤلف رحمه الله. The مؤلف, the author, Shaykh al-Islam ibn Taymiyyah, our beloved brother in Islam, رحمه الله, said, وهذا الباب في كتاب الله كثير. And this bab, which really means it's like not even a chapter, it's maybe a chapter, is abundant in the book of Allah. ومن تدبر القرآن طالبا للهدى تبين له طريق الحق. Unbelievable. And whoever contemplates, reflects, ponders upon the Quran, seeking guidance, then the truth, the road or the path of truth will become clear to him. If you reflect deeply upon the Quran, you will never go astray. Subhanallah. But the condition is that people must want guidance. They should not use the Quran to support their deviant ways of life. Then they will not be guided. So it's the intention here is necessary. طيب. The Shaykh said, explaining the statement of Ibn Taymiyyah rahimahullah. وهذا الباب الإشارة هنا إلى باب الأسماء والصفات. What chapter are we speaking about? What aspect of the deen? What factor? That of the names and attributes of Allah. Meaning, if you look through the book of Allah, concerning the names and attributes of Allah, there are so many evidences. And if you're really looking for the truth, it will become clear to you. Subhanallah, it will become clear to you. وقوله في قوله في كتاب الله كثير ولذلك ما من آية من كتاب الله إلا وتجد فيها غالبا اسما من أسماء الله أو فعلا من أفعاله أو حكما من أحكامه. ما شاء الله تبارك الله. He says, this is why there isn't an ayah. Brother Nu'man said that ayah, translating ayah to verse is inaccurate. And being on the same page of the particular, you know, being particular about the translation, I was convinced by a statement. Why ayah is not simply a verse. An ayah actually, what did he call it? It's a miraculous sign. And the miraculous signs are those in the universe and those in the speech of Allah. So even if we are referring to an ayah from the Quran, it is still a miraculous sign of Allah, the ayah itself. And he did not like to use verse because he said verse is usually associated, at least in the English language, with what? With poetry. You have a stanza, you have verses of poetry. And he said that kind of degrades the ayah of the book of Allah and making it equal to a bait min ash-shi'r. And in Arabic it's called bait. Now he didn't say that, now I'm adding that. Bait min ash-shi'r is a verse of poetry. And we don't call the Quran abiyat. Right? Because this is a resemblance to poetry. And Allah told us in the Quran that this is not poetry. Right? وَمَا هُوَ بِقَوْلِ شَاعِرٍ. It is not the statement of a poet. So he said, then saying verse is really not, is no good. And that was powerful. Right? So an ayah is a miraculous sign of Allah, but a linguistic miraculous sign, because it's in the form of the speech of Allah. Whereas other miraculous signs of Allah are the spitting of the moon, Jesus being born without a father, and the list goes on. You see that? You agree? You don't have to agree, but I agree. So consequently, I will not translate ayah as a verse. I will say, مَا مِنْ آيَةٍ مِنْ كِتَابِ اللَّهِ. There isn't a miraculous sign of the book of Allah, except that you will often find in it a name from the names of Allah. Right or wrong? وَاللَّهُ غَفُورٌ رَحِيمٌ. Right? The very, very often, ayat end with one of the names of Allah. Right or wrong? Right. أو فعل من أفعالي, or an action of Allah's actions, right? أو حكما من أحكامي, or a ruling from Allah's rulings. بل لو شئت لقلت كل آية في كتاب الله فيها صفة من صفات الله. He said, nay, but if you wish, you could say every ayah from the book of Allah has an attributes from the attributes of Allah. لأن القرآن الكريم كلام الله عز وجل. Because the Quran, the noble Quran, is the speech of Allah. فكل آية منه, every then ayah is from him, فهي صفة من صفات الله عز وجل. So it becomes an attribute of the attributes of Allah. Because the speech is an attribute of Allah, uncreated. Isn't that fascinating? It is. وَقَوْلُهُ وَمَنْ تَدَبَّرَ الْقُرْآنِ. And whosoever reflects, تَدَبُّر, you know, there are three English words that we use. And I wish that we all get familiar with them so we can enhance our da'wah skills, so we get familiar with the words they use in da'wah. Tadabbur is either contemplation or reflection or pondering. To ponder, P-O-N-D-E-R. Reflect, that's obvious, and contemplate is also obvious. طيب. He said, تدبر الشيء معناها التفكر فيه. Whoever contemplates upon the Quran, the Shaykh said, تدبر الشيء, to reflect upon something, is to think about it. To think about it, to give it some thought, to give it some thought. كأن الإنسان يستدبره مرة ويستقبله مرة. فهو يكرر لفظ يفهم المعنى. عجيب. The reason why it is called تدبر, يستدبر. يستدبر is like to put something behind you. And the reason why is that because he said, the Shaykh said, it's as if you're putting it in front of you at times and turning it around. It's like you keep turning it around before you, behind you. Before you, behind you. This is where the idea of reflection came from. Because you're interacting with that thought, and it's as if you're putting it, I mean, here linguistically, we're going back to the root of the word tadabbur. so you're repeating the word so that you may understand the meaning. You keep repeating the word so that you will understand the meaning. You hear it over and over again. فَأَنذَرْتُكُمْ نَارًا تَلَظَّى. You know, عجيب, this ayah. You know, Allah Himself, usually He sends, you know, the warning via the messenger. You know, like for example, Salih, he warned his people. فَقَالَ لَهُمْ رَسُولُ اللَّهِ نَاقَةَ اللَّهِ وَسُقِيَهَا. The messenger of Allah said, the camel of, the she camel of Allah. Right? He warned them about the she camel. But, and when Allah spoke to the Quraysh, the warning came directly from Allah. So I am warning you of a blazing fire. The warning is coming from me. Then the brother mentioned the indhar. Indhar, the value of this word means, indhar, warning, means to sit with someone, explain everything to him, explain everything in detail, furthermore, tell him the consequences of what will happen if he doesn't listen to the reminder. This is indhar. So when Allah says anzartukum, as opposed to another word, that means that the Quran has already delivered to you everything you need. You have detailed information about what you need to avoid and what will happen if you don't avoid it. So then, فَأَنذَرْتُكُمْ نَارًا تَلَظَّى. And then the word تَلَظَّى again has a special meaning. Like I said, it's a never-ending amazement. It does not cease to come to an end. How amazing the book of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is. May Allah grant us love to His speech and make us among those who understand the book and act upon it. طيب. فالذي يتدبر القرآن بهذا الفعل وأما النية فهي أن يكون طالبا للهدى. So then reflecting upon the Quran is done with giving it thought. As for the intention, it must be that you are seeking huda, seeking guidance from Allah Azza wa Jalla. فليس قصده بتدبر القرآن أن ينتصر لقوله. His intent behind reflecting upon the Quran is not trying to find some supporting evidence which will grant him victory over his opponent, as the case with many people who follow their desires. They look around for the Quran for something to prove their deviant thought. And say the Quran said that. Like who? May Allah pardon that particular individual and those who are of the same understanding of his. Concerning, for example, those who love to worship dead people. Those who love to worship people in the grave. Those who love to build construction and elevate the graves. You know what they use? Does anyone know what they use to support their deviant belief system? No. They use an ayah from the Quran to prove, according to them, that it is totally alright to build a construction over the grave of that person and make it a place of worship. That there should be a grave in the masjid. Does anyone know? Wallah, 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 you read it every Jum'ah, ya Jama'ah. قال الذين غلبوا على أمرهم لنتخذن عليهم مسجدا. The people of the cave, the Shabab, those who were victorious, those who defeated them, they said, "Verily we shall build over them a place of prostration." So now anyone who wants to worship a grave, what do they say? That Allah said that about those people in the Quran, and He did not reprimand them. So this is an evidence from the Quran. We say, Subhanallah al-Azim. How many things were mentioned in the Quran that took place which are not allowed, which are forbidden, which Allah did not reprimand, He just mentioned them as a piece of information?
Their statement.
Huh?
Their statement.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, and it's their statement, and it's just an information, it's news. It is not a ruling. Where does the ruling come from? وَأَنَّ الْمَسَاجِدَ لِلَّهِ فَلَا تَدْعُوا مَعَ اللَّهِ أَحَدًا. And the masajid, the place of prostration, are for Allah alone. Don't call on anyone with Allah. And Prophet ﷺ said, may Allah curse the Jews and the Christians. They turned the graves of their prophets into places of prostration, cursing them, warning the Muslims from following their footsteps. So they deny the hadith, they deny the ayat, and they go jumping after what? What the people of the cave said during their time concerning them, they say, then there's no problem. You see? So now this is someone who's trying to find, not trying to reflect upon the Quran to be guided, no. He's trying to find something to support his deviant ways. Wa'udhu billah. You know? And this is the problem. This is the problem. I'm just giving you an example so you know what we're talking about here. طيب. أو أن يتخذ منه مجادلة بالباطل. Or he tries to deduce from the Quran some sort of argumentation in falsehood. تفضل أخي. ولكن قصده طلب الحق. No, but his intention should be seeking the truth. فإنه ستكون النتيجة قول المؤلف رحمه الله تبين له طريق الحق. Then the result will be what? The statement of the author, the path of truth will manifest before him, will become clear to him. There will be no ambiguity in the truth and how to travel upon the path leading to that. وَمَا أَعْظَمَهَا مِنْ نَتِيجَةً. And what great is it, or what great it is of a result. What a wonderful result it is to reflect upon the Quran, seeking the guidance. لَكِنَّهَا مَسْبُوقَةٌ بِأَمْرَيْنِ. But it is preceded by two matters, two commands. First, تدبر, reflection, contemplation, pondering, and حُسْنُ النِّيَّة, the good intent. We must have a good intention. بأن يكون الإنسان طالبا للهدى من القرآن فحينئذ يتبين له طريق الحق. That the person should be seeking guidance from the Quran, then thereafter the path of truth will become clear to him. والدليل على ذلك عدة آيات. The evidence supporting that is found in a number of verses. قول الله تبارك وتعالى in Surah An-Nahl verse 44. The statement of Allah in Surah An-Nahl. وَأَنْزَلْنَا إِلَيْكَ الذِّكْرَ لِتُبَيِّنَ لِلنَّاسِ مَا نُزِّلَ إِلَيْهِمْ. And we have also sent down unto you the dhikr, the Qur'an, that you may explain clearly to men what is sent down to them. وقال الله تعالى وقال تعالى كتاب أنزلناه إليك مبارك ليدبروا آياته وليتذكر أولو الألباب. A book we have sent down to you full of blessings, it's blessed, that they may ponder over its verses or its ayat, its miraculous signs, and that men of understanding may remember. Allah further says, أَفَلَمْ يَدَّبَّرُوا الْقَوْلَ أَمْ جَاءَهُمْ مَا لَمْ يَأْتِ آبَاؤُهُمُ الْأَوَّلِينَ. Have they not pondered over the word, or has there come to them what had not come to the fathers of old, to their fathers of old? وَقَالَ تَعَالَى وَلَقَدْ يَسَّرْنَا الْقُرْآنَ لِلذِّكْرِ فَهَلْ مِنْ مُدَّكِرٍ. And verily, indeed, we have made the Qur'an easy to understand, to be remembered. Is there anyone willing to take that reminder or to understand? Anyone willing to do so? والآيات في هذا كثيرة. The verses concerning this are abundant. تدل على أن من تدبر القرآن لكن بهذه النية. It shows that whoever reflects upon the Quran with that intent, وهي طلب الهدى من, which is seeking guidance from it, لا بد أن يصل إلى النتيجة. It is inevitable that he will reach his outcome, the goal. وهي تبيين طريق الحق أو تبين طريق الحق, which is the clarity of the path of truth. وَأَمَّا مَنْ تَدَبَّرَ الْقُرْآنَ لِيَضْرِبَ بَعْضَهُ بِبَعْضٍ. As for those who reflect upon the Quran, to strike its verse, its ayat against each other, try to cause chaos and confusion among the Muslims. وَلِيُجَادِلْ بِالْبَاطِلِ, and for false argumentation. وَلِيَنْصُرْ قَوْلَهُ, and so he may become victorious for his statement. كَمَا يُوجَدُ عِنْدَ أَهْلِ الْبِدْعِ وَأَهْلِ الزَّيْغِ فَإِنَّهُ يَعْمَ عَنِ الْحَقِّ وَالْعِيَاذُ بِاللَّهِ. As it is the case with the people of innovation and the people of deviance, then they are blinded against the truth, and we seek refuge with Allah. لِأَنَّ اللَّهَ تَعَالَى يَقُولُ, because Allah says, هُوَ الَّذِي أَنزَلَ عَلَيْكَ الْكِتَابَ مِنْهُ آيَاتٌ مُحْكَمَاتٌ هُنَّ أُمُّ الْكِتَابِ وَأُخَرُ مُتَشَابِهَاتٌ فَأَمَّا الَّذِينَ فِي قُلُوبِهِمْ زَيْغٌ فَيَتَّبِعُونَ مَا تَشَابَهَ مِنْهُ ابْتِغَاءَ الْفِتْنَةِ وَابْتِغَاءَ تَأْوِيلِهِ وَمَا يَعْلَمُ تَأْوِيلَهُ إِلَّا اللَّهُ وَالرَّاسِخُونَ فِي الْعِلْمِ. The Shaykh said, Allah says in the Quran, it is He who has sent down to you the book. In it are miraculous signs that are entirely clear. Those are the foundation, the mother of the book, and others are not entirely clear, they are ambiguous. So those in whose hearts there's deviance, they follow that which is not entirely clear thereof. Seeking the hidden meanings, seeking fitna, trial, problems, and seeking, you know, deep interpretation or hidden meanings. But Allah says, and none know the hidden meaning save Allah and those who are firmly grounded in knowledge. According to one of the tafsir, that is, of course. على تقدير أما وأما الراسخون في العلم فيقولون آمنا به كل من عند ربنا. The people of knowledge, they say, we believe in it, all of it is from our Lord. وَإِذَا قَالُوا هَذَا الْقَوْلِ فَسَيَهْتَدُونَ إِلَىٰ بَيَانِ هَذَا الْمُتَشَابِهِ. Once they say that, Allah shall guide them to that which is not entirely clear, that which is ambiguous. ثُمَّ قَالُوا وَمَا يَذَّكَّرُ إِلَّا أُولُو الْأَلْبَابِ. None will reflect upon this, none will remember except the people of understanding. SubhanAllah, this is amazing, by the way, that Allah already foretold that in the Qur'an are signs, miraculous signs, that are entirely clear, and others that are not, that can be interpreted in more than one way. Then Allah told us, how do we know how, you know, what's going on? The people who have a disease, deviance in their heart, they're always looking for the ayat which are not entirely clear, trying to prove their falsehood. But the people of knowledge, they don't have this attitude. They say, we believe in everything from Allah. And remember, we dealt with this in the beginning of the book, those who were absent. Who remembers the example we gave? In da'wah, in the da'wah field, when you go out to the Christian world in particular, or the Hindus, what evidence can they get from the Quran to support their mutashabih? They're not entirely clear. And how do we refute that with something that is muhkam, something that is entirely clear? Can you think of something? No, wait. Now we're saying, let's say you're giving da'wah. A kafir presents to you a verse from the Quran to support some of their deviance. How do we reply to that with some ayah which is fixed that cannot be interpreted in more than one way? This is important for da'wah. Okay. You give up? Even though, wallah, I gave an example maybe numerous times, especially with the Christians.
There are many things. Suppose Kulu Allah was regarding that God is one, is clear. Kulu Allah was is clear. And God don't have any sister, daughter, or any
What can they use as a doubtful verse? Which verse can actually be used to support multiple gods? Nahnu. Walaykum salam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Look, the matter is simple. You will find a Christian per se, or a Jew, or a Hindu, who will come and say the Quran says we, and you say that there's only one God. So how is there we in the one God? A Christian will say, this is exactly what I believe, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. And in your book now there's a Father, Son, and Holy Ghost because God is referring to Himself as we. So we are the same. What do you say? You say, oh yeah? Allah, you'll be in trouble. What do you say? What he mentioned earlier. We say, my friend, let me just explain something to you. The Quran has, Allah told us in the Quran, there are verses that are entirely clear. And some that may be interpreted in multiple ways. Now I agree with you. We can be interpreted in multiple ways. Our interpretation is, it's the royal we, which is something found in almost all languages, including English, if the person he's speaking to speaks English. This is why you say, you are, and you don't say you is, even though it's a singular, okay? Because it's respect when you're speaking to someone else. The Queen of England says, we, you know, blah, 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 and she's speaking about herself. When you speak to a sheikh, you say, you know, in Arabic, ما رأي فضيلتكم, you know, what is the opinion of your eminence or whatever that word is, and he's one person, but because you're addressing people, and there's even in Tagalog, and if you know when they speak to someone who's older, they change the usage of words. They use different words for people who, when they want to show respect to the elders. So this is something found in all languages, Arabic and otherwise. We have the royal we, the plural of number, and plural of royalty, of excellence. So nahnu here is, as per our explanation, is the royal we, which Allah uses. That is known among the Arabs. This is in the Arabic language. If you don't have it in your language, that's too bad for you. It exists in the Arabic language. But let's say it's possible that it can be interpreted in more than one way. We have to now refer to other verses from the Quran that don't have any possibility to be misinterpreted, like قُلْ هُوَ اللَّهُ أَحَدْ. يعني this one, it doesn't say قُلْ هُوَ اللَّهُ وَاحِدْ. Say it as Allah who is one. It doesn't say that, by the way, even though this is the common translation. Ahad is more particular than one. It is uniquely one. Who's one, who's unique in his oneness. Not just anyone. Unique, 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 that is nothing like it. So now, here Allah is telling you that not only he's one, it's the most unique one in existence. So then, how can this ever become we? No. Right? La ilaha illallah. Can that be interpreted in more than one way? It's in the Quran. Right? إِنَّهُمْ كَانُوا إِذَا قِيلَ لَهُمْ لَا إِلَهَ إِلَّا اللَّهُ يَسْتَكْبِرُونَ سُورَةِ الصَّفَّاتِ. Whenever it was said to them, there's no God worthy worship but Allah, they are too arrogant. Allah says to the Prophet ﷺ, فَعْلَمْ أَنَّهُ لَا إِلَهَ إِلَّا اللَّهُ وَاسْتَغْفِرْ لِذَنْبِكَ. Know that there's no God worthy worship but Allah, then seek forgiveness for your sin. We have it clearly in the Quran, that Allah is the only one who's in charge, the cherisher, sustainer, provider, arranger of affairs, and He's the only one who deserves to be worshipped. This is very important, that we as students of knowledge, as people of da'wah, we must have some fixed ayat which we refer to whenever some doubtful matters are presented to us. Otherwise we will lose the customer. The customer will leave and go find another religion to join because we were unable to do the job. So it's not befitting for a person, a Muslim who's involved in da'wah, to be heedless about these issues. That requires that we learn, read, study, attend classes, and so on and so forth. It's a matter of experience. You know, the material is available, alhamdulillah, today online. Wherever you go, it's there. No one has an excuse. Wallah, Shaykh is in another country. You don't have to go to the Shaykh in another country. You can listen to him online. The idea is that we need to get involved in this so we will be able to refute a Muslim, each one of us here, in this particular room at least, those who have been attending the durus, you should be able to deal with any non-Muslim in the whole world. Wallahi, each one of us here should be able to sit down in this place and they can bring any kafir of any religion, of any belief system, and we should be able to answer every single thing about Islam because we have answers for everything. Everything. Whatever they deal with, if you have studied, you will never lose. Nothing. And we dealt before with even the issue of polygyny versus polygamy. Remember, polygamy is a man having more than one wife or a wife having more than one husband. And polygyny is particularly a man having more than one wife, which is what we have in Islam. You may, if you have studied the matter correctly, you may not only not only remove the misconception why Islam allows more than one wife, you may convince the person that really, really a man should have more than one wife. Because there are so many logical arguments that you can present to prove the validity of a man having more than one wife. It's unbelievable. If you know the material though. If you know the material, you will, this person will leave like, whoa. You know, I thought I really had a misunderstanding. You know, and he will be thinking, if I ever become a Muslim, I'm going to have more than one wife. Because this is really good. And it is good. He may even want it for his sister. Because it's something that Allah legislated. We just have to learn. We have to learn that, you know, the game. We have to learn how to deal with these people. If we're not qualified and we're not, you know, armed with the knowledge, then da'wah will fail. And, you know, we won't get any reward. Obviously, we may even be sinful for driving non-Muslims away from Islam. So, believe it or not, and by the grace of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we are halfway through the book. And we have dealt with all of the ayat that came in the Quran that the Shaykh quoted, Shaykh Nasib ibn Taymiyyah rahimahullah, concerning the names and attributes of Allah. And what we believe as Ahl Sunnah wal Jama'ah, or those who strive to be upon the way of Ahl Sunnah wal Jama'ah, the next week onwards inshallah, we'll be dwelling into a whole new discussion where we will be using the Sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam to prove the same things we proved earlier from the Quran. And we will see how the Sunnah completes the Quran. It's the other revelation. Not the second revelation, the other revelation which completes the Quran, explains the Quran, and it clarifies what may be general. It specifies what is general, clarify what may be ambiguous, and you will see how there's unbelievable harmony between the verses in the Book of Allah, the ayat in the Book of Allah, and the ahadith, both of them alluding to the same teachings concerning the names and attributes of Allah. So this is a ni'mah from Allah that we have made it thus far. And we ask Allah to, you know, complete His favors upon us and to make us among those who benefit from these classes and put them into practice and teach them to others. And with this, we will conclude this session today. Wa akhiru da'wana and alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen. Wa sallallahu wa sallam ala nabiyyina Muhammad. Wa iya.